So this is part three of a three-part series where we have been exploring the topic of why healers start churches. In the first two episodes, we spent some time with Lehae la Khanya, which is an apostolic church that was founded by Mme Carol Mutolo. She started the church in part as a continuation of the work that was started by her late grandfather. In the second episode, we went to a church service that was run by Ugogo Sibenjalo and Ugogo Zanimvula. They are a mother and daughter team of Isangoma who conducted the church service as part of their homecoming ceremony for one of their initiates. And today, we are attending a Zion church service. While I will be speaking with the founders, I would also want to spend some time focusing on the congregation. I would like to know what is it about such churches that attract people, especially those who are healers. What is it that draws someone like that, and how do they incorporate this aspect of the Christian faith into their practice within the African spiritual healing modality? So we're in Vosloorus, which is in the east of Joburg. We will be attending the Free Seventh-day Adventist Zion Church. The place where the church happens is actually a school, and it reminds me of the time when I was in primary school, and sometimes on Monday mornings we would get to school and we would find our desks and chairs packed up all at the back of this class. And we would be told that it's like that because there was a church service on the previous Sunday. But funny enough, I never really got to see the churches. I guess today that changes. Here, there are actually one, two, I think three churches that are being hosted in the premises of the school, all in different classes. The problem now is that I actually got lost coming here, so I'm late. And I think the church service is already about to start. Despite my best intentions to sit at the back, I was again forced to sit at the front of the church. The church leader sat at the front of the congregation, which is actually the back of the classroom. There are quite a lot of them, and they are all men. The main colors of the church are blue and white outfits. The church leaders were sitting in front of a few desks that were lined to make one long table. The rest of the congregation were sitting on the class chairs, and the tables of the classroom were all stacked in front of the chalkboard. The service starts with a few slow hymns before the sermon begins.
Abangenawo umsebenzi kodwa mabengenawo umsebenzi isikhathi esiningi babheka izinto ezinto kube khona abasebenzayo abanomsebenzi ababona konke futhi kukuhle mabe kwenza ake ngicizelele kukhona abantu abangenamsebenzi walutho kodwa abahlezi bebheka izinto ezimbi ngoba vele abanawo umsebenzi.
Call and response seemed to be a key feature of the service. That's when a preacher makes a statement and then the congregation responds in return. In this case, the response is intended to add emphasis to the statement. I think the size of the classroom, its smallness, adds a certain kind of intimacy. The preacher is an arm's length away from the front row, and it feels like everyone is participating in the sermon.
Yebo siyavuka emakhaya sigeze sibe bahle kodwa sahawukelwa ukuthi sibe la sahawukelwa amanye amagama asikhuluma kunye kodwa yizwi likaNkulunkulu.
The whole service feels like a collaboration. Once the main sermon is over, there are a few announcements, and one of them being this one. So much for being discreet. At some point after the sermon, the congregation took the chairs and stacked them along the sides of the classroom. And then the church leader took to the floor. He made a few announcements and welcomed back some members who had been gone from the church for some time. Then it was time for Tresel, the spirit circle. A song starts and some of the members of the church start to move in a circular motion around the leader of the church. Some people enter the circle and he lays hands on them and prays for their healing. Unlike in the other churches, like the Apostolic and the Sangoma churches, there are no instruments here. There are no drums, no whistles. All that you have is the chuff chuff sounds, which are a signature sound for the Zion Church. The circle seems to function as an amplifier of the leader's prayers. It feels as though it increases the potency of the prayer. Oh, once the praying is done, the circle doesn't stop. It actually just gets more intense. The rhythm stays more or less the same, only picking up slightly in pace and pitch. People keep coming in and out of the circle without a break in the movement. It goes on like this for an entire hour. Not much is said by way of words. All you hear is... There is something here that is difficult to put into words. Something takes form in the space between the people. Somewhere between the concrete floor of the classroom and the pounding bare feet and bare soles of the worshippers. It moves in between the breath and the individual beads of sweat dripping down the faces of the people. You feel it in your chest, between your heart and your stomach. It spreads down to your feet and right up to the top of your head. This is Umam Miriam Klimba. She is the co-founder of the church, and this year she is 96 years old. After the church service, I sat with her just outside the classroom where the church is held, and I had a short interview with her. Born Miriam Dladla in rural KZN. She married her husband, Ubab Klimba, in Umsinga. They then moved to Bergville. And at the time, they both knew that they had a gift of prayer from a young age. People would arrive in their home seeking help and some form of relief from their life's troubles. Uma Miriam and her husband would then lay hands and pray for them. After they moved to Bergville, they lived in the Klimba family compound, as is generally the case in Zulu custom.
Mm-hmm.
When her husband's brother realized that they both had the gift of prayer that was drawing people to them, he offered them a rendezvous in their yard where they could hold their prayers for the people. It was in that rendezvous in January 21st, 1950, that Uma Miriam and Ubab Ximba started the Free Seventh-day Adventist Zion Church. By the time their first child was born in 56, their church was already well underway. She emphasizes that at the time, the church was not an official entity because they mostly just prayed for the people. The community simply called them Umama and Ubaba, and over time, they started calling them Umfundis and Umamfundis. The process of formulating a church is something that they learned, or rather, something that they taught themselves. They then moved to Johannesburg. And wherever they lived, people would flock to that house, drawn by an innate knowing that they would find healing at the hands of Ubab Ximba and Uma Miriam. I asked her about the name of the church, and she said that it was her husband who came up with it. He called it Free because anyone was free to come. Unlike some indigenous African churches, there was no cultural divide at the time in terms of who felt at home within the congregation. In the 1950s and 60s in South Africa, at the height of apartheid, black women were prohibited from formal employment and most of them found themselves working in white households as domestic workers. And a lot of the time, many of them lived in the maids' quarters, which were at the back of the white people's houses. Even here, in the suburbs of Johannesburg, her gift followed her. People would seek her out where she worked, and very often her employers, being uncomfortable with so many people arriving in their house, fired her. As she moved around with her husband, renting back rooms in the townships, even the owners took issue with the crowds of people that came into the yard looking for healing, and from here too, very often get kicked out. As her husband began to grow older, they began a handover process to their three surviving children. She speaks of a deep sense of pride as to how seriously her children took to their custodianship of the church that she and her husband had begun nearly a century ago.
Nami ke sengkhulile ke nje ngamandla.
Mani ka.
Sengkhulile mfana ngikhulile.
I'm searching for light again. I'm searching for a new beginning. I'm searching for real again. I'm searching for love and never.
Hey, God.
Leg, I can bring one.
Alpheus Temba.
Ubaba Bukhosi Bunye is Mamiriam's son and known as Arch for Archbishop. He is the current leader of the church.
Archbishop Webandla Free Seventh-day Adventist. Ibandla laqalwa ubaba ongizalayo ngo 1950 ngo January ngobe 21. Ubaba meliqala ibandla bese bancane thina. Futhi bese ngakazalo ngoba mina ngizalwe ngo 58. Sikhulele ebandleni, yonke imisebenzi yebandla, noma konke ihlalo esikhona ebandleni, ngihambe ngazo ngendlela e-right. Asikho isitulo engiseqile. Ngisuka kuba umshumayeli, ngaba u-general secretary, ngazoba president, ngazoba u-general president, ngazoba u-trustee, njengoba sengiba archbishop, uma umkhulu.
What is interesting about his story is that his healing gift was recognized from a very young age. In fact, he traces his gift to both sides of his family lineage.
It's also by leader, being in us, so things are by leader, because Baba Nkula Beben Bizum Fundis, Etim Fundis, Batting Nasuti, Bakta Chaplok, Beninus Pius of Tandazel, Nan in Tandazel. Abantu bathi baphilile and we spiwe sika mama no baba leso.
Okay,
suka kuba
so le spiwe sikhona i family
simndenini suka na kumkhulu ozalo baba na simndenini wabo mama umama ka ugogo wami ozalo mama bayine spiwe sokuthandaza into nje ecwele family
lesi sipho ngobhekile siphume esontweni umoya nje
lesipho siwumoya ngoba siyakubamba.
One of the things that I've always wanted to know is how these kind of churches deal with people who come to the church and are spiritually gifted. More often than not, when someone is said to be gifted spiritually within the Black community, the go-to route is for them to go to Intwaso. So I wanted to know, how does a church that does not recommend Intwaso or does not take people through the process of Intwaso handle people who are gifted? And this is how he explains it.
It's not twas. Sebenza kanje. Umoya ingcwele uma sokhulumile nomuntu eza athi unenkinga yokuba mhlambi sangoma noma yini. Mayifika samamukela bese siyamhlambulula thi. Ukumhlambula kanjani? Simiselibani sinikeze amanzi wakhulekela amanzi ukuthi umoya ukhulume wakhe la esebandleni usebenze umoya wakhe.
He says that they take the person through a number of processes, most of which involve prayer, from the lighting of candles or ukhlangjulula, which is a tricky concept to explain really in English. But it's almost like to realign the spirit that that person carries and to realign it with that person. To realign it with that person because it could be that it is finding it difficult to express itself and its purpose in the current state that it's finding itself within the person and what it is that person's life is orientated towards. So in some ways, it is like trying to merge the two entities together into a well-functioning system through a process akin to a cleansing.
Usebenze noma esestratini noma yahamba. Angasebenzi mehleli nje kwakhe kuphela. Kuba umoya oyingcwele okhuluma kuye ngaso sonke isikhathi. So sinabo namanje sinabo abanjalo. siyabahlambulula ukuthi sithume sabo singabi ngaphandle sibe khona.
As has been the case with all the other episodes, the concept of isithunywa comes up again in this conversation. And Ubaqembe explains isithunywa essentially as one's guiding spirit that is not necessarily connected to any kind of healing modality.
Isithunywa umoya okhulumayo nawe obukhumayo ukuthi yenza lokhu yenza lokhu. Umoya okhuluma ukuthi lo uyagula lo. Njobe gula ufuna umthandazele kanje. Thatha amanzi asemfuleni. Thatha amanzi empophoma. Namanzi asempompini sawakhulekela asebenze. Asinayo inkinga.
He does not necessarily associate it with the church per se, but it is one that finds its best expression within the mechanics of the church. With him at the helm, the church has managed to open up about 30 to 33 branches literally around the country.
Sinama branch, tina si head office.
Okay.
Sinama branches, ay 33, bay 35. Amala amanya ngati ngiyawa incorporate amawa join. Amanya, amama branch amanya ngani. Ngifuna mama kuba amanya nama branch amanya ngifuna branch ibe nkulu. So ngawahlanganisa, I think there are 32 now.
So umuntu mayefike ethi uthwasile nithini kuyo?
Siyamamukela simhlambulule, simtshele inkambo yebandla ukuthi la ekhaya ebandleni philwa kanje. Uma ngoba umsebenzi oza nawo isiphiwo sakho, ngeke thina sisithathe kodwa sokuhlambulula ukwazi ukusebenza ngokukholwa. Umazi uNkulunkulu ukuthi uyophela umsebenzi, awuziphanga lo msebenzi. So yonke into oyenzayo ubamba uNkulunkulu eduzane.
Hayi singashiya lapho.
Amen.
So, as I said at the beginning of this episode, I want to focus more on the congregants today. I want to speak to someone who attends this kind of a church, who is a healer, because I want to understand what is it about these kind of churches that attract people who are gifted. And I spoke to Umkhulu, who is one of the attendants of the church, and about his experience, about how he got to this church and how this church and how it functions plays a part in his healing practice.
So I want to get your personal experience and views on these kind of churches.
Okay.
So to start off with, can you explain your spiritual journey and how until we get to the point where you join this church?
Okay. Yeah, it's a long one. So I'll summarize.
Okay.
Around about 2020 in COVID times, I found out that I have to twasa, and I did that. And now the type of twasing that I did, the mpande yamakhosi basically. So mose mpande yamakhosi, each person twasas a specific dlozi that wants to do a specific thing. It's not like a general thing where everything fits everyone. So you find that there's five of us, but this one's dlozi is acclimated to the apostolic faith, Muslim, Zion faith. I had no clue where I fell into. I was just starting, but you dream of the clothing that you're supposed to make essentially.
Okay.
So Mpupi Jazz, Mpupi Brugeli Mhlophe, don't know where that comes from. I have to have them done. This is what I use now for healing people. This was my starting point.
So 2020, you have twased by that
point. I'm twasing.
You are in the
process. I am in the process.
Okay.
So in that process, that's when I dream of these clothing. Mm-hmm. And I dream of people within the Zion faith, Mkulam. My Mkulu's, my great-grandfather's brother is one of my lead dlozis. He also was part of the Zion church.
Okay. What was your understanding of the Zion Church? Like, what is your history with the Zion Church? What did you grow up knowing about?
I have absolutely no history with the Zion Church. Zero. Mm. The Zion Church at home died when my great-grandfather and his father and his brother passed away.
So, what is your relationship with church growing up?
My relationship with church was, it was never a thing of I'm forced to go there. I grew up with my grandmother, and she went to the Apostolic Faith Church. I'd go once or twice, but it was never a force that I actually go to church.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, with the Zion Church, it came via my great-grandparents, and, you know, the story with him was he passed away praying on his knees in his church service because he ran his own church. That's how he passed away. And then...
Wow, he passed away on his knees.
Yeah, he passed away literally praying with his church members.
Really?
Yeah, he was praying. And
so he was... There's a history of church... leaders in your family?
Yes.
As in people starting church?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
There is a history of that. It's just that after they passed away, everyone just went their separate ways. Some went to be Abazalwa and some went to be within the apostolic faith. The only person I know who carried on with the Zion way was my grandmother's brother, but we lived far away from him, so it was never a thing that I actually go there. Then fast forward to me tossing, and now I'm dreaming of these things. And then I learned that there was some Zion in the past with my great-grandparents, right? Still haven't started going to church in any way whatsoever. And then I think I twasa in 2021.
Yeah.
Mm. Still dreaming of Zion regalia, everything to do with the church. I do. And then before I even found the church, there was someone that I trusted with who sent me a voice note. He said, I dreamt of you in Nyondumba starting to heal using the Zion faith. I'm like, okay, it's not too far off because... Mm-hmm.
So this is someone you know personally?
This is someone I know personally. We trusted in the same place.
Okay.
So usually when you trust, you know that most of the messages that have to do with you will not come to you directly. They'll come through someone else who's also spiritually acclimated,
yes,
spiritually aware. So this message came through this person. They were like, I dreamt that, you know, your healing practice will move more towards the Zion way of healing. I'm like, okay, this was 2022. And then in 2024, I had two clients who came to me. Their mother, by the way. They came to me and I was helping them out, and then they told me that they go to a Zion church. And I said, I've been looking for a Zion church for the longest time. Can I come with you to your church?
Mm-hmm.
They said yes. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started going to the Zion church.
The thing about being shown something.
Yes.
What is the, how do you know when you're being shown something in order to do it, or you're being shown something just to be aware of it? What about those dreams said this is something that you must do?
My dreams are very specific. Like, okay. I will be in a dream and it's either someone talking to me or a message comes through. I'll just know that they're saying, you must start churching through the Zion Church. I'm like, okay, I don't know which one you want. Because again, we've seen that there's one that wear blue, there's ones that wear a darker blue than the one that I go to. There's ones that wear green. There's different sects within Zion. So I wouldn't know which one to go to. Even the one where I'm at right now, if you saw, there's probably like five different Zion churches wearing different colors. So I needed to know specifically which church I needed to go to. So I pashad and I asked, I'm not opposed to going to the church, but I need to know which one.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had a client who then said he churches at Zion, I took that as a sign. I asked, and I'm always of the belief that God will not always answer you directly.
Mm.
It will come through the people around you, circumstance, news, TV, phone, whichever.
Mm.
So that's how I then got to going to the church that I attend now.
Okay. So, first day you arrive.
Yes.
First day.
That was an experience.
You get there.
Yes. First day I arrive,
Where was it?
Sweating.
Was it at the school?
Yes.
So it's at a school?
Yes, it's at a school. They have their own classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, he tells me, I'm like, okay, tell me, or come by my house and then we'll go together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then it's either we went together or I met him there, I don't quite remember. Then we walk in. I mean, it's just the energy is just different. The energy is very intentional, right? So I arrive, I don't know what's going on. I don't know the songs. I don't know how they move. All I know is that spirit led me here and I have to be within this space. So I'm there and I'm still trying to find myself within this space. I'm literally still just taking everything in. And this was the time when my beads were still very much showing.
Okay.
So, okay, that's the first time I went there. Second time I went there, interestingly enough, the pastor took a liking to me. Beads and all, when he was praying for people, he called me to pray with him. To pray for people with him.
Second time
I was there.
Wow.
I was shocked. I was taken aback.
Why were you shocked about his reception of your beads specifically?
I think it was, I'm not one to want to always stand out in a crowd. I don't like all eyes being on me.
Okay.
And I guess...
Did you think they're going to have an issue?
I always
with walk... you being someone who is a healer?
I've heard that they don't mind, but I always, you know, walk in expecting the worst and hoping for the best. But I arrived there and it surprised me that he took a liking to me, even though my beads were showing and I could see across the room there were also people wearing beads. So it made me somewhat comfortable that, okay, I can actually church here without judgment and needing to hide myself or put my beads in my shirt or wear something that's long. He called me over, we prayed for the person who needed praying for. And I came back and I told my mom, I'm like, I don't know what it is, but he called me to pray for people with him. He hadn't even known my name at that point. Third time I go there, it becomes like a reoccurring thing that he calls me when he prays for people.
When he calls you, what are you supposed to do?
When he calls me.
Mm-hmm.
Now he'll call me and then he'll say, let's pray for him.
And then what do you do in that time?
I pray for said person.
Do you have a history with prayer as a component of your practice?
Yes, my practice is very led by prayer first. Everything, you pray for everything. Muti, the person, even if you're doing a cleansing of thought, everything starts with a prayer. So I had already had that everything starts with a prayer that I already understood. And I had already come in there with an understanding that my practice is going to somewhat shift towards being whatever the Zion faith does, mixing in what I do. So whatever he was asking me to do, I was open to doing it, knowing that I am also there to learn how they do things.
And then your initial experience, or rather your initial expectation, how did that evolve over time as you were experiencing the church?
What I initially expected was just to be in the background, really. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to be in the background. I just wanted to church there. I wanted whichever spirit was directing me towards that direction to just be fulfilled by my presence of being there. I had no clue that it would turn to me being like a pivotal person within the church at that point. That's how it started. It grew to being something totally different or more along the way, but that's essentially how it started. And I think it got to a point where maybe I felt that it's a bit too much too soon.
Really?
It felt a bit too much too soon at that at a point.
As in, like, you were being given too much of a position in the church?
I think so, because I arrive, maybe I'm an overthinker. Mm-hmm. You know, I go into a room and I always scan the room as to who's there. I know that there's senior pastors, there's people who've been part of the church for a long time. So I didn't really want to get in there and step on anyone's toes. And being of the fact that I haven't even been accepted formally into the church, people don't even know my name, and already I'm being called to pray for people. That's something that brings attention to a person. So I was doing that, but it got to a point where I felt it could be just a me thing. I felt judged. I felt that people were looking at me, or I felt that people were asking themselves, who is he to arrive? Yes, to arrive.
Was there ever any actual situations that happened that made it clear that there were people who were not feeling you that way?
Not the entire church, maybe one or two, or maybe I was just too sensitive to looking out for people disliking me or what I'm doing at that church. I think it was there, but it could have just been a me thing in that I walk into a room actively looking for like any type of negativity so that I can protect myself. So, but I won't lie, he was open to me. Like from the jump, he was open to me, helping out, being a part of the church, even though I wasn't formally introduced to the church, formally accepted into the church, still haven't been formally accepted into the church, by the way. Like we're 3 years in. So it got to a point where I felt so, I guess, overwhelmed, and I felt like, I don't know why I need to do this right now. It's too soon. And I think I absconded the church for like a good couple of months.
You ran away.
I did, basically.
you ran away.
But I had a convenient excuse.
Okay.
I was schooling and working same time. It was becoming a lot. So I think that became my convenient excuse of, I can't go to church right now. But again, true to spirit, I dreamt of the same pastor in my house, almost as like a mentor figure. And I knew exactly then and there that spirit had sent me to him to learn how to heal and incorporate the Zion way of healing within my own practice.
What is, in your definition, what is the Zion way of healing?
As Zion, they very much operate on umoya. If you ever hear when they profita someone, it's always on uti umoya ngokutshela ukuthi. It's very in your face.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strong, right? It's not conversational like you'd have a talk with like a psychic or something. Oh, so I think, no, they tell you.
It's more instructions.
It's more clear. It's more direction based on what you're supposed to do. So I saw that I'd even had a dream of myself consulting with someone in the same way that I'd see him consulting, saying uti umoya, and then I'm giving someone the prophecy of what to do. So I knew that that's what they do. Also within the Zion faith, because of the because of the Witchcraft Suppression Act, right? A lot of healers who are not allowed to practice then fell under Ubu Zion, right? And a lot of said healers also fall under Isporofito, and there's ancestors called Abalos. Those are the ancestors who speak in your ear and tell you what to tell someone. Hence, you'd sometimes hear some Zion based prophets saying uti umoya ngokutshele ukuthi, because it would be that Abalosi ancestor giving you a direct instruction, telling that person, tell this person to go do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that is how then Isporofita and the Abalozi ancestors were able to carry on during like the apartheid era and during the witchcraft suppression era, right? Because they found a way to operate within Christianity, and that's how they operated within the Zion faith.
Mm-hmm.
So now that
is that now what is being called Estonia?
It differs really. I think
in your opinion,
in my opinion, it's a combination of. It's a combination of either or, because in some people's definition, Estonia is a past ancestor of yours who either operated as a healer or supposed to operate as a healer.
Within church or just within a church, healer? Okay.
Within church, yes, more. And because said person was supposed to operate or operates as, then that person is the person who then gives you instruction on how to heal people. Hence, but Estonia, Utunyiwe. Now we use Tunya Skamoya to heal people and to give them messages of what to do and how to heal themselves. So there's Tunya aspect, and then there's the Abalozi aspect. The Abalozi aspect, I don't really think has been explored that much within the Zion Church, but I know of healers who operate Momlozi within the Zion Church, and Umlozi also specializes in umhlahlo. So umhlahlo differs from isporofito in that umhlahlo, you'd find that it's a step higher. Umhlahlo is, on this day of the 27th of April, someone is going to come to your house and tell you 1, 2, 3, say no. And it happens in that exact same way. Umhlahlo is also emsebenzini wakho. Umuntu wegama elisoso is doing 1, 2, 3 to you. By a day of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you're supposed to be sick.
And that is a capacity that you have.
It's a capacity I'm working towards.
Okay.
It's a capacity I'm so.
And you are using the church as a way of attuning that capacity.
Yes, because essentially most of my guides, even though Mungtwasile, they operate within the church-based faced way of healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They sent me to him because he's supposed to teach me, and there's also certain rituals that he is supposed to do for me. Because
does he know that?
Yes, I've told him.
Okay.
I've told him he knows. He agreed. He's actually found out that it's one of the things where I was kind of so afraid. I think it took me 6 months to ask him because it's kind of like, I don't know this man from above, so all we know is of each other spiritually. We're going to see him on a Sunday. And now here I am. I'm not even a former member of the church yet. But I come and I'm like, listen, so Spirit said, there's a specific ritual you must help me with. My ancestors require this.
And his reception was what?
He was happy.
Yeah.
He was super happy. He was super open. He was like, give me a date. Tell me when. And that's when I knew that, no, this was prepared in spirit before I could even ask the question.
When I spoke to him, he seemed, I sensed some apprehension from him in relation to Ntozamandlozi.
Yes.
That he says we're accepting of people, but it seems like not even just accepting, like we tolerate it, but it's not a thing that we in the church pay that much mind to.
I don't know, maybe it's in the way that he put it that it might appear that way, but from my experience with him and the actual church, there's days when you are getting the church, she's in bed.
Okay.
She's been purple. Some days, we do whatever needs to be done. I would even say if I've got like a prophecy for someone that would involve someone either cleansing their ancestors, whatever, tell him. And he would be like, call this person and tell them right next to me. I need to make sure that they take this seriously. So he, from my experience, he's all about it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't mind it. In fact, he pushes for it. I've seen people who come into the church, and you know, there was a lady who came into the church, and they were just like, I think it was either her mother who didn't finish tossing, or she needed to finish tossing. And it was just like, you have to do this. Melu kite, melu twasa, melu lapa.
And she's hearing this in the church.
She's hearing this in the church. It's a prophecy that's in front of everyone. You see, this is the path that you're going to have to go. Your mother probably went about, or maybe it was the mother, I don't remember, about the mother having gone about it in a way that was not supposed to. But it was just put in a way of, yes, this is what's supposed to happen. The mother probably chose the wrong person to lead them on this path. But this is the mother's path that you have to, the mother had to twasa, the mother had to gita, the mother had to heal people. I've even seen people in church. So it's very much.
I was gonna ask about that. The previous church that I went to, people came with their cloths,
yes,
a different kind.
Oh yes.
Whereas here, I didn't see. It was all the same uniform. What do you call the uniform?
Don't know what the uniform is called, and I. It's just I really don't know. Sambato or something.
Okay,
I think so.
Alright. But you know Sambato from church.
Yes.
And you're not sure if this is what they
if
call
it.
It
applies here.
Okay.
I don't know why that specific color. All I know, I dreamt of a color that is in accordance with this church.
Right.
That's pretty much, yeah.
And in your practice, is it a matter of when people come to you for help?
Yes.
Do you use, as you put it, the Zion way of healing for people who come to you, who come from those churches? Or would you apply that same practice to someone who doesn't go to church at all?
So how I incorporate Zion way of healing is they pray over water, right?
Okay.
So I pray over water, they pray over candles, they pray over the person.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with prayer, it ends with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You always give the person water to drink, cleanse themselves, futa with. So at most, because I can heal in both aspects, a person will come to my practice and I'll know immediately whether their ancestors are more acclimated to Muti or towards Iziwasho, which would include the water aspect. And I'll go with either way, but with both, it always starts with prayer. So the Zion aspect of it comes with the praying over water and being able to heal ailments and cleanse people just via water with nothing else added.
Do you ever ask the person if they have a preference, or do you ask them their religious history before you?
I don't even. It just comes to me via spirit. I recently had a client, I performed divination for the person, and then afterwards I'm like, your ancestors don't agree with Muti. We have to work with water Newashu.
Mm-hmm.
And that client then just confirmed, we've never really been Muti people. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I know that any and every ritual that me and him do has to just be water Neziwashu. Muti does not agree with him. Mm-hmm. And then there are other clients who use Muti. Usually the ones who use Muti, you can also then still give them water to use, but it's just that Iziwasho they don't react to Iziwasho the same way they do to Muti.
Is it?
Yes. Muti just works quicker for these people. Same as the people who I then say, Umuti angeku kusebenzele, it will probably just mix up their things. Then I have to give them Iziwasho or I have to give them water. So it's very important that you look at the person and get an understanding of what would work for them according to their ancestors and the person who brought them there for healing.
Mm-hmm.
It can be Muti or it can be water. It can be either or. And mixing up the two sometimes can get the person in trouble or can get their ancestors to not perform the way they're supposed to, or do what we promise to do or the person wants them to do for them.
Does the Christian aspect of church come into play at all in your practice? And that, by that I mean the Bible and Jesus Christ and the Trinity, and how does that aspect of that side of the church come into play in your practice as a healer?
I will say that the Bible should come into more play than it actually does into my practice. I should read it more than I do, but I do believe in God. I do believe in the Holy Trinity. I think, personally, I think the Bible is one of those books where you can take any verse to justify whatever you feel or think, in a way. So there's people who will use the Bible to justify not wanting amadlozi, etc. That is wrong. But there's specific verses in the Bible that also justify amadlozi. Like the story of Moses going to talk up to a burning bush, that could be interpreted as a literal burning bush, but in the Zion and the African aspect it could be interpreted as the burning bush asking for a way forward. So the Bible is one of those interesting books that can be used to justify just about anything that a person really feels or wants to do. It's really, really one of those books that's open to interpretation.
Do you consider Amazon Christians?
That's an interesting, because at the core, Christianity really does not believe in ancestral veneration. But Amazon call themselves Christians, or maybe they are a sect of Christians that believe in ancestral veneration. But at the core, I know Christians to be staunch in their belief that it's God or nothing. Whereas within the Zion faith, it's your people are the people who talk to God on your behalf. So we need to respect them. We need to cleanse them. We need to make sure that they are functioning and that they are well. So I'd say they do fall under a sect of Christianity, but they don't function like core Christians.
So for you, there is no conflict in terms of African spirituality and Christianity in this instance of the church that you attend?
No, there really isn't. In terms of the church that I attend, there really isn't. There really are understanding of African spirituality, African healing. They really are open to people like myself with Twasad who are healers. They're really open to us. They don't mind us at all. There is no conflict between them and ancestors in the Zion faith specifically.
And since now you are in this particular church, have you seen differences in your kind of church and all the other similar African indigenous churches?
I won't say that I have. I haven't really. I've gotten an experience of the apostolic church once or twice. I haven't really been to any other like African church either than, because I wasn't really like a Christian, a church person. I've been to, before Twasing, I went to Abazalwan Christian church. That was before Twasing, before knowing that I was supposed to come under this faith. I'd say the difference with Zion is the way it's very rhythmic. It's very chant-based. It's almost like it induces spirit to come out when you listen to the way that they sing, the movement, the way Bashai's Kalanga, the way they go around. It's very much almost like they are calling
on
Kalanga.
Okay, it's Kalanga.
Yes.
Okay.
With the sticks where they just come around. Yes. Yes.
Please explain to me the sticks.
The sticks. I don't know.
How did you get yours? Lying.
I dreamt of mine.
Okay.
I dreamt of mine. I don't know where the whole stick thing with Amazion come from, but I know that Mofiga, especially Mormont, is Lisa.
I was going to ask, because I only ever see men carrying it.
Yes, it's more specific to happen to be Lisa. They are the ones who carry a stick. As to where it comes from.
It looks like it's also a specific kind of tree.
Yeah, it could be.
Because they're all white.
Yes.
Tree might.
And they all look the same, basically.
Yes.
So yeah, there's that one. And then there's also the steel one. Yes. It's made of metal. We don't really carry that one that much.
In your church?
Yes, in our church specifically. Yes.
Okay. All right, that's it.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. What was the question again? Because I wanted to say something. That question that you asked.
About Christianity?
Yes. What was the question?
I don't remember. Okay, let me ask you this. one.
Yes.
Who is, as someone who goes to what is termed as a church?
Yes.
Who is Jesus Christ to you?
I think Jesus, personally, I think Jesus Christ was a prophet. Mm-hmm. He was the last prophet to be acknowledged by the Christian church. Because within the Islamic faith, they say that Muhammad came after it. Mm-hmm. So I think he was the last Christian, the last powerful prophet to come of the Christian church. I do believe he was a man. I believe he was a man. He was a powerful man at that. Could there be another prophet? There are prophets who do work, I think, in the same capacity. I believe in what they do, but I think he was a man at the end of the day. He was a prophet. And I believe he himself at Amadlozi. You know what I mean? He was just a healer. He used water to heal. He would call, even in the Christian faith, they would call on, you know, him as the son of David, if I'm not mistaken, right? But it's almost like Babazi Tazir, like when they call on him, sexually to come on, to be there. It's the same within Ngesintu as well, when we call on our ancestors, when Awaga, Spirit, Waramazia, blah, 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 and then you talk to God. I think it's the same thing. When people call on Jesus and David, it's just the long way around. Whereas the shortcut is your own people, essentially, because your people are already passed away. They are already your way of communicating with God. That's what I believe.
Do you think you would, at the momentum that you're going, or rather the trajectory that you're going, do you ever see yourself being a church elder?
I am very much, I've thought about it. It's a fear.
How?
It's a fear that I have, because I do look at the way my life is going. I look at, you know, the way in which I am, even at the school where I work, because I'm a lecturer, and I've been positioned in a way where it's almost like you have to lead young men towards being in the right direction. And here I am now being put under the leadership of someone who leads a church. So I'm looking at the trajectory. It's scary, but it could be something that's, and you know, considering my past with my great grandfathers also having their own churches. It's one of those things of, I could just be placed to learn how to heal within the Zion Church, or I could also be placed to learn how to heal, to run a church, to be an elder, because one thing about him, the pastor that I'm with, he's very objective. He agathathi maside. He leads with a clear vision. There's no favorites. Everyone is welcome within his church. So I look at him as someone who, he's almost like a prototype of what I should be going into, essentially.
That's well.
Amen.
Got it. Thank you.
I hope that was enough.
No, that is enough. That is enough.
Because I was thinking of adding in the mediumistic aspect and how that goes into, like,
please
the
add faith it. As well. I want you to add what you feel you want to add. I literally did not have questions on this thing. So add what you feel should be added.
As long as I'm going to be under an alias, because yes, I can't be found.
Okay.
I via mediumship and whatever, whatnot.
All right.
Which I thought, like, where the whole medium is.
Yes, what is your definition of mediumship? And then we can take it from there.
My definition of medium is someone who can communicate with people who have passed in dreams and in waking life. So you could be sitting and then you'll just have a vision of someone, a thought. They come through and they give you a message. I think if there's in the psychic way of thinking about it, they call them the clairs. Where there's clairaudience, clair hearing, clair cognizance, clair knowing, clairvoyance is clair seeing. Mm-hmm. So it operates somewhat under all of the clairs. I forgot there's a clair for smelling as well. There's a clair gustans, I think it's for taste. It operates under all the clairs where you can, a spirit will come through and have you smell a specific thing while you're near someone, mm-hmm, or you'll hear something, mm-hmm, or you'll have a vision where you see something, or you'll just know something that occurred, and then you, mm-hmm, tell that person that for some reason I just know that this happened, this person is telling me this, mm-hmm, or I am seeing clairvoyance, I am seeing a vision of your mother wearing this and this and this, mm-hmm, and this is what she's doing, is this your mother? Then the person will say yes. Clair hearing, a message just comes across and you're like, this is what I'm hearing, this is what they are telling me.
So this is what did we do in the church then is called prophet.
Yes,
that it would fall under the general term. What do you think
is the
And by that I'm saying my limited experiences with people who prophetize, they don't say I'm smelling it, I'm hearing it, they just say there's a message,
yes,
but they never specify how that message is coming through to them.
I think once you get an understanding of how they're getting their message, then you'll understand which clair they fall under,
okay,
and then you'll get an understanding of which ancestor they probably function using.
Okay.
Same as with like clairvoyance that can fall under isporofito, because you are seeing things, right? Mm-hmm. You are giving a message to see. And the clair hearing, clear audience that will fall under a specific ancestor, which will be umlozi, because umlozi functions via whistles, via telling you a message in your ear to relate to a person. It's not like you're seeing anything, mm-hmm, you're just hearing a message that you are supposed to relay to said person. So there's a whole range of ancestors within the African umbrella. I always think of it in the way that in Western healing, there's a general doctorate, then you get a doctor who's a surgeon, then you get a midwife, and etc. It's the same within African spiritual healing. Some people might not agree with me, mm-hmm, but I think Isangoma is the entry point.
Okay.
That's the general doctor.
Okay.
Whereas that's the GP. Yes, I can diagnose. Mm. And then if there's a specific ailment that requires someone else, same as within the Western way of healing, then like you need a specialist who deals with a specific ancestor. Then you would go to that person and then they would heal you within that way. Sometimes all you need is a general doctor, and sometimes you need a specialist, and mediumship falls under those, that umbrella of specialities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fascinating. It's so broad.
It is. It's broad yet very specific to what a person is. I know that the people who come to me for healing need a specific type of healing. Mm-hmm. You need a specific type of healing, because my healing, it deals with ancestral lineage as a whole. So it's either your ancestors, there's a gift that they were not using for the longest time and it needs to start functioning. There's a family curse. There's anything to do with your ancestors as a whole, pertaining to you and how they are affecting you and how they would want you to move to heal through you. I know that that's what I deal with. So I'll, yeah.
When I was speaking to a pastor, when we were talking about healers coming into a church, and he said, what does that mean in the context of a person who is a healer, someone who has amadlos, who then goes to church?
I think it's one of those things. It's not just within the Zion Church. There's other churches. They call it ukugula ilosi.
Okay.
Whereas,
what does that mean?
Ukugula ilosi is if ilosi wants to function a specific way, but then when we are ukugula, we still seven zingi nilele. So specific, maybe Begmele Uyotwas, and you don't feel like this is your path.
Okay.
So if it is
apparent to you that you have to go through the normal indwaso.
Yes.
But do you feel like you don't want to do that as a personal preference? You can, kukula means that you can then switch.
Yes.
Is this without also trying not to get into the specific of how spirit functions or sacred things, is it a thing that you force the spirit entity to do, or is it a conversation, if I can put it that way, a deal that is made to say, can we discuss me not doing this? I don't want to do this. I'd rather do this. Or is it you forcing the situation?
I think it gets to a point where, because spirit wants to work either way, it'll, in specific instances, take what it can get at that specific point.
Okay.
So if you are supposed to pass up, but then you're like, you know what? It's not my thing. Or you went to Inda or Erong, you toss up because you hadn't really received the place where you're supposed to go to, or someone pushela kuthi uhambe lapho. These people who then by skukula leso sipho sabo ukuthi is in that, it's just one of the instances.
It sounds wrong.
To ukukula.
Yes. From my limited understanding, yes. I've always thought or interpreted as if you can't negotiate in that way. You can prolong maybe going to Intwaso because there are certain things. But in terms of shifting, it's because it almost sounds like you're shifting the nature of the spirit itself. And I'm trying to understand this in the sense of the church.
Yes, I think I get what you're saying there, but in my instance, I think it's also a case of Ildozi playing the long game.
Okay.
Right? In terms of, okay, so I can't work with you through this way. Mm-hmm. I'll work with you in this way. But you're going to have kids.
Okay.
And your kids are going to have kids. Mm-hmm. And as they say in gambling, the house always wins. Mm-hmm. Somewhere, somehow, someone will have to twas up.
Can you turn a non church spirit into a church spirit?
No.
Can you turn a church spirit into a non-church spirit?
Can you turn a church spirit into a non-church spirit?
Yes. And this is me trying to understand the googling process. Can you have a guide who is not faith-based and turn them into a faith-based guide? Or can you have a faith-based guide who wants to go to church and then you channel them in a different direction and say, under no circumstances am I going to church?
I think when it comes to healing, it's very rare that someone goes in with just one pattern, not the other. And I mean one pattern, that the African way of healing and the Sporofito somewhat Christian way of praising God. Two always accompany each other, right? Kubane sintu, kubane sonto. From my experience, like from the way I trusted, there's always a church, there's always a God aspect in there. Hence then I say, Ildozi plays the long game. Okay, we can use this part for now. So it's like you're accessing half of your intended gift, essentially. Right. So you're accessing half of that. So in my experience, I think it's almost a case of something's better than nothing. Right. But again, the house always wins. Somewhere, somehow, somebody will have to take the full
gift. So kukula then sounds like a temporary measure.
In my experience,
or circumstantial, yes. We're going to do this for now.
Yes.
Until something else can happen.
Someone along that line will have to take up that gift. Okay. Somewhere along that line, someone will have to take up that gift. I could be wrong. It might have probably happened the same way with my gift, because I think the last person to take up my gift in its entirety was Lomkhulu Mphete, and he lived like over 100 or so years ago.
I was going to ask that. Is that what you believe might be happening with you in the church, that you are now having to take up something that maybe someone might have done, and then you have to now complete the gift, as it were, by going to church?
I think I completed the gift by taking up the African aspect of it.
Okay.
Because the church aspect was always there.
Okay.
So the church aspect of my gift was always there. The last person to have the full aspect of it was Mkhuluam, over 100 years ago.
Okay.
Whether the other people didn't take it because they didn't want to, or it was because of the witchcraft suppression, I don't know.
Yeah,
but it functioned how it functioned within that time as best it could.
Okay.
And then when it got to me, it's like the thing needs to be fulfilled. The whole gift needs to work in its entirety.
So you then, church, you sort of, when you go to church, you're now completing the circle.
Yes, completing the circle. Yes, completing the circle by using both parts. Le parti esintu, ne parti esonto, because in most parts it was just le parti esonto, ebe function, and not necessarily saying ukuthi they didn't believe in the whole ancestry part, but it was the ancestry part was functioning through the church.
Mm-hmm.
Until it needed to be like, we need this to come to full completion. My great, great grandmother is the first, as far as I can trace back, with the gift of mediumship. She also had the gift of me that she then handed over.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the aspect of healing, it's rarely ever one ancestor who hands you a gift. It's multiple. So there'll be one to hand you this, there'll be another one to hand you this, and hand you this, and hand you that. Hence then you might find a healer who falls under not just one religion, but two religions, or they have multiple ways of healing, because this ancestor's like, I'm giving you this way, you glapa nyanzi. I'm giving you this way, you glapa nyini. I'm giving you this way, you glapa nyizi washu. Here I go, because I used to just work with Muti. It's like you're just completing the circle, in that every single one of these gifts gets to function within you and not just one aspect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, got it. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you for that.
I'm supposed to do a wrap-up of this series. That was the intention. But something feels unfinished. I know that it's been 3 episodes on this topic, 3 long episodes. But something still feels like it's not done. There's something that feels like this topic is not done. But I mean, it's a very, very broad topic, which could take many, 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 many episodes. In fact, I think you could have a whole podcast based on the intersection of the church and African spiritual practice. That could be a whole podcast on its own. And I could never really cover everything in just 3 episodes, regardless of how long. But even then, I can't shake the feeling of something feeling a bit off. And I just can't put my finger on it, but something feels like it needs to be said, but it hasn't been said. Something feels like it has to be revealed, but it hasn't been revealed, or something needs to come to light that hasn't yet come to light. And also, I'm not sure as to whether or not this is something that I have to process on my own, or if it's something that needs to come onto the podcast. I mean, to do these three episodes has taken just about 2 months, with the traveling and the appointments and, you know, trying to make sure that you are connecting with the right people at the right time, and some appointments falling through, or some things not happening, not finding certain people, and, you know, just challenges with recording, and recording in churches and loud music and all of those things. But also, what has taken time has been the processing for me personally, processing not just, you know, talking to someone and interviewing them, but processing the experience, processing what it is that the system is feeling, how your body is feeling, how your spirit is feeling, how you are navigating these different spaces. That takes time. I don't believe in fast food spiritual insights where we just focus on catchphrases. It's important to delve as deep as possible into something. And I feel like, yeah, it almost feels like, you know what it feels like? It feels like when you're leaving home and you're going on like a long road trip, and then you have this sense that you might have forgotten something. Like you forgot your license, or you forgot to switch off the stove or something. But there's this thing that feels like there's something important that you are forgetting. So I'm having that sense right now. I feel like there's something very important that I'm forgetting, and I'm not sure exactly what that is. And so I'm not going to wrap up the series now and share my thoughts on the whole topic right now. I feel like that part still needs to take time. But apart from that, I'm really, really grateful for, in this episode, for the grace with which I've been embraced in these different spaces, from Mme Carol Motolo to Gogo Zanemvula and Gogo Simenjalo and Umkulu today, and the community of Free Seventh-day Adventist Church, and everyone else, really. It's been a truly amazing experience to do these three episodes in ways that I probably can't process now. And I also need to, for myself, you know, go through what it is that I experienced, and why is it that I was led to these different people at these different times to experience these particular things. Because I think that is also important. And I also encourage you, if you have listened to the episodes, or from listening to the episodes, to dig within yourself to figure out why you are drawn to this topic, why you're drawn to these episodes, and what it is they mean to you, and where they land, where the different experiences and the insights land for you as a person. And yeah, I guess then we'll meet on the next episode, while we work through what it is that we are working through. And with that, my name is Vusum Zinglande, and I really, really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this episode. I wish you light, I wish you courage, and I wish you all the very best on your journey. Makwande.